This episode of Legal Talk is sponsored by the law firm of Bora Goldstein, Atchuler, Nahins, and Goidel.
When Israel was in Egypt land, let my people go.
In the beginning, the corporation that we know as a co-op or condo was created by a sponsor. And the sponsor said, let there be community life. He saw all that he made, he saw that it was very good, and he decided that maybe he would stick around.
Why aren't there any laws that can force a sponsor to sell?
Meet Rona Megilowitz. She is on the board of Wakefield Owners in Forest Hills, Queens.
Well, we have sponsors who try to maintain control in every way possible, and they still own 50% of the building. The sponsor sublets, and we don't collect the sublet fee. We bought into a co-op thinking that we'd all be shareholders and neighbors and work together as a team to keep a wonderful community going, but we don't know who lives here because they're also exempt from putting their renters before the board.
A sponsor is the person or organization or entity that is responsible for submitting an offering plan to the Attorney General's office to market condominiums or cooperatives or homeowners association.
This is Louis Montana, a partner in the Peekskill practice of Levine and Montana.
And the sponsor, once the building is, let's say, converted or be declared effective, can then retain these interests.
I would just say that the sponsor also has certain preferential rights that other shareholders or unit owners do not have.
And this is Eric Goidel, a partner in the Manhattan firm of Bora Goldstein, Atchuler, Nahins, and Goidel, and the president of Director Protector.
Those include the right to sell or rent without any type of board review, and the right to make alterations to their apartments or units without any significant board review.
In addition to that, the ability to sell usually without having to pay any flip tax or other transfer fees.
In a perfect world, it would be preferable to have a building 100% sold where you have 100% of the building owned by shareholder lessees or by unit owners. They're going to be like-minded, as distinguished from maybe having a situation where you have a lot of rentals and you have a transient population who do not share the same interest. The other problem arises is that if you reach a certain saturation point of investor-owned apartments or sponsor-retained apartments, there's impact on the ability to finance purchases, finance resales, or in the case of a co-op building, actually finance the underlying mortgage on the building.
All of this sounds like the sponsor plague that has infected Rona's co-op.
They neglected this building because they kept control, and they neglected the building. They didn't. They voted against new boiler, new roof, year after year after year, 25 plus years, Carol, where we suffered with no heat, suffered with leaks. You know, emergency repairs cost triple the amount that a proactive board would have paid. So we paid through the nose.
The point is that when the sponsor or the holder of unsold shares has a high percentage of these retained units, then the lenders are reluctant to make these loans, which then leads to a lack of marketability by the shareholders.
It affects the sales negatively because, you know, the banks change their criteria for requirements every now and then, but there was a time that they wouldn't give anybody a loan in this building, nor would they allow a refi because of the number of sponsor units.
Under the Attorney General's regulations, there are time periods that a sponsor can only have effective control of the board.
That may be true, but clearly that's not reality. So what's a board to do with a sponsor they can't get rid of and who just won't give up control?
I'm always of the belief that litigation is costly, time-consuming, and often with an uncertain result. It is far better to try and negotiate some type of a resolution. It's not always an all-or-nothing, scorched-earth type mentality, but maybe there's a way to come to some type of middle ground. You don't need to make the sponsor sell all the units. Maybe the sponsor only needs to sell 5% more of the units to get to a point where the shareholders and unit owners can orderly sell their apartments and find buyers who can get financing, or the building can refinance its mortgage. You also need to understand sometimes that not all sponsors just wanted to sell the minimum number of apartments and then rent out in perpetuity. Maybe they have a lot of rent-regulated apartments, and maybe those rent-regulated apartments bring in rents that are less than the maintenance or common charges and taxes for a cooperative or a condominium. And perhaps the free market apartments is what balances out that negative cash flow. And maybe they would like to sell, but because of the situation with the rent-regulated tenants, they can't. So you also have to try and understand their circumstances as well.
Well, that's sound advice, but sometimes that can be really hard to do. One of the things that the Attorney General requires is that if there are amendments to the offering plan, and there often are, a sponsor has to file them with the state.
We have two sponsors here because it was a married couple, but then they got divorced, so they're two separate entities now. So one said, I'm 91 years old or I'm 89 years old, and I'm sorry, but I forgot that I had to file amendments. Please forgive me. I just forgot. The other one said, oh, please forgive me. I'm sorry. I didn't know I had to. When I pointed that out at an annual meeting, some shareholders who were not aware of such things said, oh, my God, and these are the people who are controlling, trying to control the building. What the hell are we going to do? And one person said, you've got to sell. You have to show us that you're making every effort to sell. So what effort did you make before you just rented that last apartment? And the one sponsor stood up and said, my attorney is here. He'll answer. The attorney stood up and said, they don't have to sell and they're not going to.
If you can't work it out amicably, which would be the most cost-effective for the board, you may be able to file a complaint with the Attorney General's office, or if necessary, take the ultimate step of filing litigation, or some co-ops have tried to terminate the proprietary lease of the sponsor.
I think what you need to do is have an initial meeting and identify the problems that the building is experiencing and the owners are experiencing. Try and understand, as I said, what perhaps are the issues of the sponsor. Maybe there are no issues. Maybe they just want to rent in perpetuity. Then that obviously puts a discussion on a different level. But I don't think threatening litigation before you've actually had a conversation will have a positive result. Just get people entrenched and their backs up. And to think that under just the threat of litigation, any sponsor of any size would roll over is a bit of folly, I think. You could negotiate, for example, that they don't get to vote for all seats, perhaps get them to agree to amend the bylaws. You could get maybe some say in the rental process while they do have the absolute right to rent without consent. Maybe you could make sure that they run criminal background checks, or that the board get a chance to meet with the prospective renters before they move in so they can understand the building a little better, and maybe they'll have a better tenant as a result, or maybe control the amount of time that the sponsor can rent out a particular apartment for a year or two, as opposed to maybe turning apartments over during the course of a year. If there's a sublet surcharge, well, those apartments aren't subject to the sublet surcharge. There may be greater building wear and tear with all these transient people. And all those things could be discussed, and maybe there's a middle ground that can be achieved, or some orderly program where the sponsor agrees to sell every year a certain number of apartments to get below a certain threshold.
Well, one thing that is a possible drawback is if the sponsor or the holders of unsold units were able to be convinced that it's in their best interest to dispose of these units, a bulk sale at such reduced prices may depress the market for the remaining units that are in the building there. There may be coming in purchasers who are actually not economically viable.
You have to look at the overall relationship of with the current sponsor or holder of unsold shares or units that you currently have. If you otherwise have a decent relationship, you know, better the devil you know sometimes than the devil you don't know. And so you could work something out that is a win-win or a partial lose-lose for everybody involved. You may be better off than going to the mattresses on this issue.
After 32 years, I'm not sure the Wakefield Co-op has the energy to go to the mattresses. But if they don't figure out a way to engage the sponsor now, who knows? Those elderly sponsors may pass away and their children will take their place. Thanks for listening. I'm Carol Ott, publisher and editor-in-chief of Habitat Magazine.